This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm T. Xiao Yik with Sue Ann and Sharmila Gunnison in the studio today.
Yes, so we only have one more day to Raya, so we'll be looking at some of the traditions of Hari Raya here in Malaysia.
And then following that, can you spell Odilic? It was the final word at the Scripps National Spelling Bee in the US last week, which saw a historic 8-way tie. Basically, these kids broke the bee.
Yep, and I still can't spell Odilic, but they could.
Yes, so but meanwhile, we're asking you on Twitter, what do you look forward to the most during Hari Raya? So we've put a few options there. You have family time, food, open houses, or your baju raya. Or you can also tell us other favourite traditions of yours by tweeting us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Meanwhile, here's Misty Miller with Happy Together.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
That was Misty Miller with Happy Together, a rather more mellow version of that song. But nevertheless, happy is certainly the mood of the day.
Yes, with Hari Raya only hours away, really. We thought we'll look at some of the more common traditions when it comes to Hari Raya celebrations here in Malaysia. So in the meantime, you can share with us your favourite Raya traditions. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or you can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. So as most of us know, Hari Raya Puasa or Hari Raya Aidilfitri is celebrated by Muslims around the world after a month of fasting during Ramadan. Mm-hmm. So Hari Raya is actually based on the Islamic calendar and the start of the month is determined, the start of the new month is actually determined by the lunar cycle.
Right.
So according to the Islamic calendar, a new month begins with the sighting of the crescent-shaped new moon, or as many of us Malaysians call it, the Anak Bulan.
Mm.
So Hari Raya Aidilfitri, which falls on the first day of Shawwal, is traditionally determined by sighting the Anak Bulan with the naked eye. However, this means that if it was a cloudy night, if it was raining or foggy, the sighting of the new moon would be obstructed and Hari Raya could actually end up a day late.
Yeah, I actually remember that happening once when I was much, much younger.
Mm-hmm.
Because back then they weren't using, I suppose, they weren't relying on the calculations and they did actually used to sight the moon.
Mm, yep.
So there were days, I think one year where we thought, oh, next year we don't have to go to school.
Mm.
And then it turns out that no, Raya is one more day.
So
I honestly thought that that's how it was still done. And only recently did I realize that, I mean, for convenience as well, that they actually do there's a modern calculation method to do it.
So what is this method now that we use?
I am assuming it's that, since 1992, Malaysia has actually implemented this combination of, you know, what I guess you can call traditional or scientific methods. So a committee appointed by the Conference of Rulers will determine the dates for Ramadan and Shawwal by observing the crescent moon, not just through the naked eye, but also using equipment such as a telescope and a theodolite. So a theodolite, we had to look this up, is an instrument for measuring angles in horizontal and vertical planes.
Wow.
So this process is conducted in 29 locations in the country, and this more accurately determines when the new month begins and then when Hari Raya is.
Right. I mean, the calculations make sense for the Chinese. That's, you know, we have our Chinese calendar dates and you can tell when the new the new months are from those calculations.
That's actually how it works for the Hindu calendars as well, where they calculate them in advance, and then you have, you know, you actually have like an almanac that they send out.
So I mean, the sighting aside, when we're talking about Hari Raya, there's a lot of other local traditions that come to mind. I don't know about you, but the one I think of straight away is food, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your rendang, ayam masak merah, lontong, lemang, serunding. Okay, I'm sorry for those of you who are fasting. We're probably making it a little bit difficult for you. But, you know, so yes, these foods are also, you know, available outside of the Raya period. But, you know, it's more of a tradition during Ramadan and Hari Raya celebrations, which everyone really looks forward to enjoying together.
Yeah, and I think increasingly in modern life,
mm-hmm.
it isn't actually that easy to get these foods outside of the Raya time. time. Mm-hmm. You know, but perhaps the most symbolic food for Hari Raya is the ketupat. Mm. Not only as the food item itself, but, you know, increasingly now it's on decorations everywhere. And if you're not familiar with it, the ketupat is a sort of dumpling, I guess, made out of mm-hmm. glutinous rice that's been packed inside a diamond or triangle-shaped pouch. And the pouch itself is woven with leaves from the fan palm, or the Malay name, which is daun palas.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think I actually knew that, despite eating ketupat all these years. I actually thought it was coconut fronds, coconut leaves.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I think I may have came across an article that was saying that it could be interchangeable. I may be wrong, but I think it depends on what would be available and whether... Mm. And this daun palas, from what I've read, can be quite difficult to find nowadays.
I guess a palm and a coconut are close enough.
Similar in terms of structure and all as well. Yeah. So the ketupat is filled with rice grains. And then as it's boiled, the grains will expand to fill that pouch and the rice becomes compressed. So this method of cooking is actually what gives the ketupat that texture of that rice dumpling.
Mm. And it is believed that the ketupat actually originated from what is now modern-day Indonesia and has also been known among the Hindu Balinese based on his research that was done. So then ketupat later found its connection with Islam during the 15th century Sultanate of Demak. So in Javanese, ketupat is actually known as kupat. And this actually means admitting one's mistakes.
Wow.
Okay.
Yes. And the crossed weaving of the palm leaves itself has a meaning and it's taken, and that meaning is to symbolize mistakes and sins, while the inner whitish rice cake would symbolize purity and deliverance from sins. So these are all meanings in accordance with the tradition of asking for forgiveness during Hari Raya.
Mm. Yeah, and speaking of forgiveness, we often hear the phrase Maaf Zahir dan Batin during Hari Raya, which translates to forgive my physical and emotional wrongdoings. And that reflects the meaning of Hari Raya. I mean, it's not just a time of celebration, but also a time for atonement. And apparently this is a practice that's unique to the Southeast Asian region. Mm. And, you know, I think throughout we can see that Hari Raya is a time for reflection and for bonding, especially among family members. Of course, you all come together from near and far, and the bonding comes through even in activities like the preparations building up to Raya, right? Preparing of the food, mm-hmm. making the Raya cookies, putting up decorations such as the pelitas, which are also known as panjuts, around the house. So all of these activities are actually meant for everyone to do it together, and that's where you get your quality time.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and then during the month of Raya itself, we have friends and families that have open houses, and then this is not just about the food.
Mm.
Yeah. But it's also a time for a lot of us to catch up with our family and friends, right. Yeah. Especially nowadays when it gets quite busy at work sometimes, and especially in a multicultural society like Malaysia, I think open houses really reflect an important part of our own values.
It is something that I really look forward to, and to see our friends, you know, in their best Raya finery, and they've gone to so much effort to make everything so hospitable and so welcoming to us. I love it.
Yeah. So earlier today, we thought we'd asked around some of our colleagues in the office about what are their favorite Raya traditions and why. So here's their answers.
We're back in the kampung, me, my family, and my relatives. We gather in the living room after the solat raya, and then we bersalam salaman, bermaaf maafan. I know it has a nice feel to it. You start the day with a good thing, and you feel good. It's nice, you know, who's sincere. It's like mending, if there were any like mending broken relationships, but it's like starting over, which is nice.
So my favorite raya tradition is to go out the night of Hari Raya. To look for bunga api and mercun. I mean, obviously not the dangerous ones, very, very normal firecrackers and things. And then tomorrow after Raya prayers, the food, my kampung is in the north, so northern cuisines are more ketupat than lemang. And that's my thing.
My family does do the whole ketupat, anyam ketupat thing. it's fun to do it. Like, we sit in a circle, me and my cousins, and we do that the night before Raya. And I'm really bad at it. And every single year, we have to teach ourselves how to do it again, because you only do it one time a year. And we sit in a circle, and it's nice to just talk and chat, and everyone's busy doing other things. So just the whole atmosphere of it.
So my favorite Raya tradition is where, I guess, me and my family, we will line up in a straight, neat row. And at the end of it is my grandma, who's like the oldest family member. And there's like 9 of us, uncles, cousins, and everyone. And we take our turn to salam with her. And we also get duit raya at the end of it. So like during that neat little row, everyone's talking to each other, waiting for their turn to say, to apologize and to say something to my grandma. And so it's a pretty sweet thing that we do every year. And we've never broken it since.
I think it's interesting to see how Raya traditions, especially when it comes to the family and the forgiveness and all that, it does mimic and mirror Chinese traditions for Chinese New Year. Mm-hmm. Also, it's about paying respect to those who are older in your family, asking for forgiveness from them as well. So that's a very Malaysian thing that we share. Yeah.
I think that even that open house thing, right? I never realized until I started meeting people outside of Malaysia how it's, well, I suppose Malaysia and Singapore, but it's very much just us. Like a lot of other countries, they celebrate these, but this open house concept is not something that is very familiar to them.
Okay.
It tends to be a family thing, even Deepavali in India, for instance. It's not this open house concept is something that's somehow taken root and become a thing here, which I like.
And from experience, you know, like especially last time when I used to balik kampung with my parents, you know, go to my grandma's house up in Pera, it's especially when they have open houses in those small communities, it's just something where the whole housing area, the whole committee just comes to your house and it's just sitting there chatting, you know, catching up with the people who've come back.
Mm.
It's just a really festive feeling.
It is.
All around.
It is. I mean, the other thing that's really iconic for me, because I'm within this area of PJ, Taman Tun, and I'm sure those of you who are familiar with Taman Tun also know of that row of stalls that sell lemang in Taman Tun, which actually originally they were in another location in Taman Tun, but when they expanded the highway, they had to move. Fortunately, they are still within Taman Tun, and I'm looking forward to that.
Actually, lemang is definitely a part of my family's Raya tradition, I suppose. I mean, we technically don't celebrate Hari Raya, but every year my mom will... So my mom is vegetarian. Her kids are not. So she'll make her own version of like vegetarian rendang or vegetarian the kuah kacang. And then we'll go out and buy lemang and ketupat. And often we end up like driving down like streets to look at like the perfect lemang place.
There's that stretch on the MRR2.
Yes, that's
right.
Right
outside the zoo, right?
Yeah. So
like 55 stalls or something like that.
So then that's our Raya tradition. Like we eat lemang and ketupat together at home.
Even then, also, I feel like I can relate to that, because lemang and ketupat is just something that you see most often during this time of the year. And other times of the year, it's very, very difficult to find it. So I feel like regardless whether you do really celebrate Raya or not, there's always just that feeling of you just want to celebrate it anyway.
Yeah.
And actually, incidentally, I just learned how to open the lemang, the bamboo thing last year. So I'm a bit late to the party, but
I still don't know how to do it. So.
Me neither. So, you know, on that note, we were asking you on Twitter, what do you look forward to the most during Hari Raya? 58% of you voted that you look forward to food.
We've been talking about that too.
Yes. And then 25% of you said that you look forward to family time. 13% of you said that you look forward to the open houses. And 5% of you said it was the Baju Raya.
All right. So keep your thoughts coming in. You can still tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Coming up, can you spell the word bougainvillea? That was one of the words in the US National Spelling Bee, which we'll be discussing next. Stay tuned for that. But first, here's Sharifah Aini with Suasana Hari Raya on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.